There is a word from the Lord on today that shall come forth from the 23rd chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And I'm going to read in your hearing verses 29 through 35. And as always, we'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. And it reads as follows. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. Consequently, you bear witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How shall you escape the sentence of hell? Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. I'd like to share for just a moment from this theme and this thesis entitled, praise God, there is a difference between the righteousness of God and the religion of man. Yeah, there is a difference between the righteousness of God and the religion of men. In part three of this series, we're going to focus on this sub-theme and thesis. And it is entitled, Religion Seeks the Destruction of the Righteous Because It Has a Murderous Spirit. Religion seeks the destruction of righteousness because it has a murderous spirit. In this message, our task and our objective is to examine, if you will, praise God, through Scripture, and to perform via the Word of God a biblical autopsy, praise God, on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I said we want to perform an autopsy through Scripture concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus here speaking to the Pharisees, to the religious people of his day, those who utterly and outright rejected him as God, even though all of the evidence revealed to them and even the prophecies and the law in which they so pledged to keep gave evidence to who he was. But they refused the evidence. They rejected the evidence because religion has a covetous spirit. It desires to possess what belongs to another, where men seek to take ownership of what God has entrusted to their stewardship. Stewardship is not enough for religion. Religion demands ownership. to take from God what belongs to him and to operate it according to their own precepts and their own judgments. Yeah, in effect, if I had to define the two, religion is God accepting man in his imperfections. In other words, God making available to man his righteousness because of man's imperfections. But religion is man rejecting God and ignoring his imperfections and being able to, as man, if you will, God Almighty, somebody hear me today, establish his own righteousness. Yeah. Man attempts to establish his own righteousness through religion as he rejects God and ignores and overlooks his sins, his shortcomings, his falling. And through religious efforts, religious twists and turns, the traditions and precepts of men, makes his own path to make him look righteous before mankind, having rejected the righteousness that belongs to God and God alone. As a result of that, religion, if you will, is void of God. And we want to examine through the Word of God how this religious aspect literally has the indictment and the full guilt, if you will, of murdering our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Religion murdered him on Calvary's cross. It was the Pharisees and Sadducees and those who were steeped in religion, the tradition of men, who demanded he be crucified and who persuaded others to do the same. Because religion seeks the destruction of righteousness because it has a murderous spirit. In this 35th verse, Jesus says to these religious people, he says, upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed. Jesus said, you are responsible. He said, on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah. He took them all the way back to the book of Genesis when Cain slew his brother Abel. And he reveals the reasons why one brother killed another. Let us examine this through Scripture as we go back to Genesis, the 4th chapter. Praises be to God. In Genesis, the 4th chapter, we're going to pick up at verse 1. It reads as follows. It says, now the man had relations with his wife Eve, that is Adam. And she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. And again she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Verse 6 says, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. And Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. As we look at the account of Scripture, there seems to be, on the surface, no apparent reason for Cain killing his brother. Cain brought an offering. Abel brought an offering. God didn't accept Cain's, but he accepted Abel's. Cain got mad, told his brother Abel about it. Abel didn't reject the offering. Why did he kill Abel? But for some reason, he felt the need to kill Abel. Because, see, religion doesn't want to be exposed. Somebody better hear me today. Fake Christianity, false worship, does not want to be exposed. And the only way to keep from getting exposed as being a copy and not the original is to get rid of the original. And all that's left is the copy. So it was out of necessity that Cain killed his brother Abel, because Abel, operating in righteousness, exposed Cain's religion.
Come on now, you're talking.
And religion doesn't want to be exposed. That's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious sect had to kill Jesus. They had to murder righteousness because it was exposing them as a phony. And that's what happened to Abel. He was exposing Cain's, if you will, a quote-unquote religiosity. The fact that he was operating from the surface but had no depth concerning his heart toward honoring God as God. He took what he had and just gave something to God.
My God.
But Abel, honoring God in his holiness and in his righteousness, took from his first fruits and the fat portion thereof,
amen,
and gave it unto God first.
Amen.
Because giving unto God first acknowledges God as God, and that all that we have comes from Him.
Amen.
Thus Abel was operating in righteousness toward God.
Amen.
But Cain, on his part, was operating in religion. He just was throwing anything and say, okay, you ought to be happy with that. Religion has a flippant mindset toward God. Religion has a lip service kind of mindset toward God rather than a heart kind of service toward God. Jesus told the same group of people in the 15th chapter of Matthew. He says, you draw near to me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. Teaching as precepts, if you will, the doctrine of men rather than the word of God. In other words, they're making this stuff up as they go. That's what religion is. It's not foundation, nor is it premised on the word of God. And when folk get exposed, they don't like that.
That's right.
See, that's why we call this day Resurrection Day.
Amen. Praise God.
But other folk call it Easter.
Yeah.
And don't you dare tell them that their bunny is irrelevant and has no significance or regard concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't tell them anything about the bunny rabbit. They'll get mad at you if you tell them that the Easter egg hunting don't have anything to do with it. What are you talking? We've been doing this all my life. My mama did this. My grandmama did this. Great-grandpa even did it. Woo! Who do you think you are? They want to get rid of righteousness. Because religion doesn't want to be exposed. No Easter egg hunts here. No bunny rabbits. No highlighter suits. Because our goal and our objective is not the religion of men, but the righteousness of God. But the righteousness of God. In Isaiah, praise God, the 29th chapter, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ reveals this a little bit deeper, if you will. In Isaiah, the 29th chapter, if you turn with me there briefly, we'll see what the Lord wants to reveal. And specifically in the 13th verse. And since you're in Isaiah, mark the fact that we're going to come back to the first chapter and examine scripture there as well in the book of Isaiah. Praises be to God. In Isaiah 29 and the 13th verse, this is what God revealed through the prophet Isaiah to the people. He says here, "Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service." Let me stop right there. Religion is lip service. Oh, you can't tell me nothing. I love the Lord. Well, that's fine. Ain't nothing wrong with telling folk you love the Lord. If a person won't do that. But just uttering the words doesn't make it so. He said, "These people honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me." See, God is interested in heart service. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37, he says this. He says that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. Amen. And he said the second is like it, and that is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Love is centered in the heart.
Amen.
God says all of life has to do with the heart.
Amen.
In the proverb, the scripture says that from the heart flows the issues of life. God says if it's not from the heart, it doesn't matter. If a man loves a woman, she doesn't want him to give her lip service. Yeah, I love you, baby, but he out with Jane and Sue and Carol. But now hold up a minute here. Something don't add up. She doesn't want lip service. She wants heart service, especially if she loves him. And that's what she's giving to him.
Amen.
And that's why women ought to check that at the gate, praise God, before they get started down that highway of love through premarital counseling.
Amen.
Praise God, to find out what the heart of the man is through scripture, through the word of God, and examine her own in the process. Yeah.
God.
"Oh, you're a baby, I love you." Yeah. But the brothers, he can't stay out the streets.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. If the woman says it, but she's somewhere everywhere. Listen, God is saying, I'm not interested in lip service. I want heart service. Because, see, God loves us. And he wants us to love him right back. He says here, he said, "They honor me with their lip service," in verse 13 of his 29th chapter. He says, "But they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote." In other words, what they do, they're doing it from memory. Well, mom and them went to church. I'm going to go to church too. Mama and them did this, so I'm just going to do that too. Dad and mama and them, grandpa, grandma, they did this. And they just doing it because that's what they remember. They don't know him. See, God wants us to know him in the pardoning of our sins. He wants us to have a personal relationship with him through accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For the scripture says that for God so loved the world, according to John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God is interested in a love relationship. He's given us love in the person of Jesus Christ, and he wants us to love him right back by trusting him and by obeying him. That's why he said in John 14 that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I've seen so many people try to use the blood of Jesus Christ as an occasion to the flesh. In other words, they're going around teaching, well, you know, we're operating under grace and not under law. So pretty much, you know, I can do what I want to do as long as I ask God to forgive me. And so they go out and do what they want to do. God didn't, he didn't send his son to die and to shed his blood so that a person can be enslaved, to remain enslaved to sin, but that they would become slaves of righteousness. He didn't come for them to be remain bound in sin, but for them to be freed in Christ Jesus. Not so folk can keep sinning. He says that folk that have that mindset crucify Christ afresh. In other words, they become just as guilty as those who put him on the cross in the first place. God wants a love relationship. A love relationship. Yeah, not just doing stuff because that's what's always been done. Am I making any sense today? Yeah. Furthermore, righteousness reveals itself in this way. According to Romans 5 and 8, God says that he demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. According to Romans, the 3rd chapter, God lets us know that he has extended grace to us, that we might become the his righteousness in Christ Jesus as a free gift to us. See, that's the righteousness of God being given to us, not the religion of men that rejects God's righteousness and seeks to establish their own righteousness through things that they come up with. I read in the headlines this week in the international news concerning the cathedral that burned, I believe it was in Rome or wherever this was at. It was, the theme of the Cathedral of Notre Dame. What was that, in France? It was one of these countries. Yeah, they had atop the cathedral, what was that they had up there? Yeah, a tin rooster. And they said that the rooster was the protector of the church. Can anybody tell me where that's at in here? The rooster that got struck down, burnt down, towed down. The rooster is the protector. And they found the rooster in the ashes. Well, if the rooster's in the ashes... how the rooster going to protect anybody if it's down there under the rubble? Amen. But see, through religion, somebody walk with me now. Amen. Through religion, stuff that men come up with, we got to be careful to hear and to heed the word of God. to hear and to heed the word of God. In Isaiah, the first chapter, starting at verse 21, God shares with his people what has befallen them through the prophet Isaiah. He says here in Isaiah 1 and 21, he says, how the faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderous. I'll say again, religion has a murderous spirit. Religion seeks the destruction of the things of God. It seeks the destruction of righteousness. Verse 22 says, your silver has become dross, your drink diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chases after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. Therefore, the Lord God of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, declares, ah, I will be relieved of my adversaries and avenge myself on my foes. Let me stop there for just a moment. God is revealing that religion is an enemy to righteousness. Religion is an adversary to righteousness and a foe. He goes on here in verse 25, he says, I will also turn my hand against you and will smelt away your dross as with lye and will remove your alloy. Stop for just a minute. Even in their unrighteousness, the righteousness of God is being extended. So God makes them a promise. Yeah, you've been murderers. You've been rebels. You've gone contrary to my word and to my will. He says, even what you bring to offer, the silver that you offer has become dross. But God says, I'm the God of another chance. I'm the God of righteousness. I make available to you my righteousness. He says, I will smelt away the dross of your silver. In other words, I'll cause it to melt away. What has been corrupted, God says, I'll clean up. He says, I'll remove your alloy. See, an alloy, a metal that has alloy or alloy metal is a metal that's been mixed with all kinds of other things. And see, that's what religion is. It's man monkeying, with God's righteousness. It's man monkeying with what God has done as if somehow he could make better or fix what God did. God doesn't need man's help. Amen. Because he's already given his son. Amen. Jesus came and died once for all. Amen. That everyone who believes upon him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. There's nothing left to be done. That's why when he died on Calvary's cross, he said, Father, it is finished. It's finished. Amen. He represents the finished work of God. Any attempt to try to fix up and prop up and do something different other than what God has done is religion. It is precepts of men, doctrine of men. Leave what God has done alone and simply accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as the righteous gift and grace of God, pure in his love for mankind, his creation. When we receive him, we have salvation. Nothing else is required other than to simply love God back by receiving the love that he's given us in the person of Christ. And living our lives in obedience to him. Verse 26 says, then I will restore your judges as at first, and your counselors as at the beginning. After that, you will be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. God is the God of restoration. God is the God of another chance. As I said, God's righteousness is that which is reflected in him accepting man in spite of his imperfections. Somebody tell you, well, you can't come to the Lord. You done this in your life, you done that, and you can't. Listen, that's religion. I don't care what you've done. God says that he so gave his only son that those who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We preach righteousness through in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus, not religion. Not religion. In Matthew 21, Jesus prophesies of his own death to come. He reveals to us that indeed religion is murderous, has a murderous spirit. And he does so through the parable of the landowner in this 21st chapter of Matthew. He says this in verse 33. He says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. And when the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. And the vine growers took his slaves and beat one and killed another and stoned a third. Again, he sent another group of slaves larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. But afterwards, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Because religion seeks the destruction of righteousness, because it has a murderous spirit. In effect, he was letting the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious folk of the day, he was prophesying his own death, letting them know that all of these prophets had been sent, all of these servants of God had been sent to them, from righteous Abel to Zechariah, as the scripture declared. And then finally, God sent his son. He said, and their mindset was, there's the heir. Here's the one to whom everything will be given. Let's kill him, and we can take everything that he has. Because religion has a covetous spirit, and it seeks to kill in order to covet. In other words, God says that he has entrusted men with a stewardship of his righteousness, to teach his people and to train them in righteousness. But when men get a hold to it and seek to take ownership, they train people in religion, contradicting the command of God rather than teaching them in righteousness. My statement to you today, don't let anybody teach you religion. Make sure you teach yourself through the study of God's word. And through those who are faithful teachers of righteousness, teach yourself righteousness, and let no man teach you religion. If someone said to you, well, we've always done this and we've always done that and this is the way we do things, well, where is that in the Bible?
Amen.
Can you explain it to me? Can you show it to me?
Amen.
If it's not there, then it's religion.
Amen.
And I got some news for you. Religion will never save anybody. Religion will never deliver a single soul. Religion will never give success, and it'll never give victory. Only the righteousness of God has that power. Only the righteousness of God. In Matthew 27, as we hurry to end our time, in Matthew 27, what Jesus prophesied in Matthew 21 actually came into being. From verses 33 through 50, the scripture reveals the treatment that righteousness received from man. Oh, if I had time to tell you, righteousness seeks the destruction, or rather religion seeks the destruction of righteousness because it has a murderous spirit. Look at the treatment that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ received because of religious men. Verse 33 says, and when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mingled with gall. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots, and sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And they put up above him, up above his head, the charge against him, which read, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Let me pause for a moment. Religion mocks righteousness. Verse 38 says, at the time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other, and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we shall believe him. He trusts in God. Let him deliver him now, if he takes pleasure in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. See, religion is not just satisfied with mocking righteousness. Religion seeks to, if you will, curse God. To reject God in his authority and in his power. They are literally saying, he trusts in God, let him deliver him. In other words, God has no power to get you out of our hands. He trusted in God. Let him come deliver him. Because religion rejects God and his power and his authority. Because men seek to establish their own righteousness. He said, if he takes pleasure in him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers also who had been crucified with him, here in this verse 44, were casting the same insult at him. Verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He says, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, "This man is calling for Elijah." And immediately one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, "Let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Religion accomplished its goal of seeking the destruction of righteousness because it murdered our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I got some good news for you. That's not the end of the story. Flip the page. Praises be to God. Flip the page. Matter of fact, you don't even need to flip it. Matthew 28 says this, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he is lying.'" And then verse 7 says, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Even though religion seeks the destruction of righteousness, and even though it may appear for a time to have success, ultimately, religion and the satanic agenda behind it will be defeated, because truth crushed to the ground will rise again. According to the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, and according to Scripture, even though truth was murdered and buried, truth rose again, because truth is God. And it is of God. And it is the righteousness of God that we have in Christ Jesus. And he is resurrected. He is risen. And he has all power and authority in his hand. So when men mock you, call you a holy roller, holier than thou, or this or that, because you seek God, because you serve God, because you're committed to God, or when people try to come against you to hurt you because of your faith, remember that in Christ Jesus we have the victory and we shall never know defeat. We shall never know defeat, because he is risen in spite of religion's effort to destroy righteousness because of its murderous spirit. We celebrate today. We rejoice today that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, is risen, because righteousness and truth carries the victory. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen and hallelujah.